back to Just Energy Radio with Dr. Rita Louise.
Hello and welcome back to Just Energy Radio. I'm Dr. Rita Louise, and thank you all for tuning in to the second hour of the show. You know, that mute button, it is very important. You have to unmute yourself so that people can hear you talk. Anyway, in this hour, we're going to be talking about lucid dreaming. And to share that information with us, we're going to be talking to Robert Wagoner. So let me tell you a little bit about Robert, and we are going to get him on the air. Robert Wagoner is President-elect of the International Association for the Study of Dreams and a graduate of Drake University with a degree in psychology. He is also the co-editor of the Lucid Dream Exchange. Wagoner has over 30 years of extensive experience and experimentation in lucid dreaming, including over 1,000 lucid dream experiences of his own. So please welcome to Just Energy Radio, Robert Wagoner. Robert, am I saying your last name right?
Yes, Wagoner is correct, and thanks
Woo-hoo! I have this propensity of, not ever saying anybody's name right, so, I'm going to pat myself on the back.
That's great.
So this is the first time that we've actually had the topic of lucid dreaming on the show, and I read your book, and it was really interesting. And so, you should see the list of questions I have, and I had to stop writing because I'm going, okay, you don't even have enough time to get through all this. So why don't we start simple? What is lucid dreaming, and how is it different from a regular dream that we might have?
Okay, that's a great question. You know, a lucid dream is normally defined as a dream in which you consciously realize you are dreaming. So within the dream, you're completely aware that you're dreaming. So in a normal dream, we just go along with whatever happens. We just, if the car becomes a bicycle that then becomes a tricycle, we just kind of accept that. And if we live in a house, in a mansion, we just accept that. We just don't really think too much about what's happening. But in a lucid dream, we realize that it's a dream, and because of that realization, then we can consciously decide what actions we might want to do. We can remember our waking life. We can intend for things to happen. And we can even investigate our assumptions about dreaming and conduct scientific experiments. So there's a lot you can do when you're consciously aware in the dream state.
Cool. So how did you become interested in lucid dreaming?
You know, it was back in 1975. I was a junior in high school, and I began reading the book by Carlos Castaneda called Journey to Ixtlan. And in this book, his shamanic teacher, Don Juan, tells him that he wants him to become aware in dreaming by finding his hands in the dream state. And so there weren't too many instructions on how to do this exactly, but this is what I did. Each night before I'd go to sleep, I'd look at my hands and I'd tell myself mentally, tonight in my dreams, I'll see my hands and realize I'm dreaming. So I'd just keep repeating that to myself over and over. And about three nights of practice of doing this each night before I went to sleep, I was having a dream that I was walking through a high school hallway and all of a sudden my hands popped right up in front of my face. And at that moment, I realized, oh, my hands, this is a dream. And so that was my first consciously induced lucid dream. And it was utterly fantastic to realize that what a moment ago I had accepted as just a reality, now I understood because I was lucidly aware that I was aware in the dream state.
That's pretty cool. And so, and you have been working with it and practicing it?
Yeah, for these
over
past
the years?
For these past 30 years, I think like a lot of lucid dreamers, at first I just thought it was fun. It was incredibly amazing to be in that lucid dream state. You could, you know, fly. You could walk through a wall. You could compare and contrast the dream state with the waking state. You could do all sorts of incredible things. And so those first 5 or 10 years, I just kind of played around with it. Actually, I learned to do this before it was scientifically proven. So I had a little bit of a difficult time when I tried to talk to other people about it because it had yet to be scientifically proven. But it was an extraordinary thing, and as I went along, I realized what incredible depth lucid dreaming had and what it offered to people.
Well, and it sounds like there's kind of like a club. you know, when you made the comment about, lucid dreamers, as opposed to like motorcycle riders, like there's a group, that identify themselves as having that practice.
That's really the case. I think if you go online or you read my book, you'll realize that there's a lot of people who are doing lucid dreaming. Some of them learned vis-a-vis Carlos Castaneda and the technique I was talking about. Others learned after the scientific proof was established with the work of Dr. Stephen LaBerge and Dr. Keith Hearn. And then others have just heard about it through friends and others. And so now on the Internet you can find a lot about lucid dreaming. But it's one of these things that I've been doing for more than 30 years. And so with a lot of us beginners who've been doing it that long, finally I felt like I had enough experience to write a book and help people to become better lucid dreamers.
So when you say scientific evidence, I want to say, what do you mean? I mean, because when you're talking about dreams, it's a very subjective state. As a, kind of like in there with energy healing and psychic abilities, I mean, it's a very subjective experience. And so how would they prove something like that scientifically?
That's an excellent question. And it's quite interesting. There were two researchers who were looking at this. The first one was Dr. Keith Hearn at the University of Hull in England. And back in 1975, he had heard about lucid dreaming, about people becoming consciously aware in the dream state, but no one had ever been able to prove it. Up until that point, it was just something in spiritual literature or the parapsychological literature, but no one had been able to prove it. And so he began to think, well, maybe a lucid dreamer could signal with their eyes by moving their eyes in a predetermined manner and thereby signal that they were consciously aware in the dream state. Because, during dreaming, oftentimes dreams occur in REM state, in the rapid eye movement state. And so this Dr. Keith Hearn thought if he brought somebody into the sleep lab who was a good lucid dreamer, they could consciously signal with their eyes. And that's exactly what he did. Back in the spring of 1975, he brought in a lucid dreamer, Alan Worsley. And one spring morning, Alan Worsley, who was having a lucid dream, he was consciously aware in the dream state, he moved his eyes from left to right 8 times in a row. And in the laboratory, Keith Hearn was watching the polygraph of the eye movement chart swing to the left and right 8 times in a row. And at that moment, he realized that lucid dreaming had been scientifically validated. He said it was philosophically and scientifically a mind-blowing moment.
And so I will assume that moving your eyes left to right in that way is not something that traditionally happens when you're in REM sleep.
Right. If you look at a normal rapid eye movement chart, the eyes are just kind of darting around here to there, just little movements and all. But to have these giant movements of looking far to the left and far to the right and a certain number of movements, then that just confirmed that it had occurred. Also, in 1978, without knowing about these experiments, Stephen LaBerge at Stanford University was a doctoral student, and he went into the sleep lab using himself as a lucid dreamer and basically did the same exact kind of experiment that he signaled by eye movements. And so this is well scientifically proven. And what's kind of incredible about it, just like you were mentioning a moment ago, dreaming is a subjective state. But when you're consciously aware in that state, you can actually begin to scientifically experiment and kind of scientifically validate many of these things about dreaming that have often been thought or discussed.
So many people believe that our dreams allow us to access our unconscious. Is that even more true or profound in a lucid dream?
You know, I really believe it is. When you're consciously aware in the dream state, then you can bring in your experiments and begin to test some of these assumptions like, you know, are dream figures symbolic? I remember I was part of a lucid dreaming group back in the mid-80s, and every month we would have a lucid dreaming experiment to conduct. And one time it was to find out what a symbol represented in a lucid dream. So I became consciously aware in a dream, saw all of these gems that were laying around, and picked one up and asked a friend of mine who was a dream figure there to tell me, what does this gem represent? So I was consciously aware, asking to find out what it represented. And she responded to me very matter-of-factly, hope and consciousness. So that's what the gem represented. But in the morning, when I woke up from this lucid dream, I thought, well, am I just getting feedback from what I expect, or is that valid observation by that dream figure? And so you can take it deeper and deeper as you go into it, and that's why I wrote this book, was to show that some people, when they become consciously aware in the dream state, are taking it deeper, and they're taking it deeper to get unknown information. And how can you get unknown information, like telepathic, clairvoyant, or precognitive information? Basically, you have to be reaching some broader awareness or some collective unconscious or some larger mind in order to do that. And so it's very interesting as you go deep into it, as you start to discover more and more about what I feel to be the larger nature of the unconscious and its awareness.
Well, I mean, I just think that it's interesting that people actually go in and do tests of what they can get their dreams to do for them the first place.
And you know, Rita,
I'm supposed to be sleeping. Come on. Seems like too much work.
it's not work at all. And in fact, among lucid dreamers, there's kind of a well-known characteristic, which we kind of call lucid euphoria or lucid afterglow. Normally, when you wake up from a lucid dream, the rest of the day, or at least for the next few hours, you have this amazing feeling of kind of well-being and kind of a sense of centering or grace or kind of magic, and it follows you around for the whole day, so sometimes for days afterwards. So lucid dreaming, instead of being work or difficult, is really one of those things that that people truly enjoy. In fact, oftentimes when they become consciously aware in the dream state, like they'll see something odd, or they'll see their grandmother who's been deceased for 20 years, and they'll go, wait a second, grandma's been dead for 20 years, this must be a lucid dream. Oftentimes the first thing they have to do is to mollify or curb their enthusiasm, because you get that lucid euphoria. You just get so excited at the idea of being consciously aware in the dream state, because once you're consciously aware, you can really do virtually anything that comes to mind.
You know, I will admit I'm really not much of a dreamer. Even though I'm aware that I must be having dreams, I don't have very good recall.
Right.
And I got Betty Bethard's, you know, your dream book years and years ago, and said, okay, well, I'm going to start doing this. Had my little dream journal, and then I just kept waking up throughout the night, and I'd write my little notes down, and in the morning, I was really tired. And after that went on for a while, I was like, you know what? This is really interrupting with my nonstop 8 to 9 hours of just, you know, black perception of sleep. And so you know, you're talking about this feeling of euphoria, but after a busy night of lucid dreaming, do you end up feeling tired because of all the mental activity?
You know, not at all. And I should point out that most people who consider themselves lucid dreamers are probably likely to have lucid dreams at just 2 to 4 lucid dreams a month. So maybe one lucid dream a week or something like that. When you begin to learn how to remember your dreams, like normally what I would do is I'll wake up at 2:30 or 3 in the morning and jot just 1 or 2 words on my dream journal just so I can have kind of a hook to remember the dream in the morning. And so it's one of these things that with the right sort of suggestion before you go to sleep, like tonight in my sleep I'll easily remember my dreams and recall them in the morning. Something like that makes it easy and not tiresome at all.
Well, then let's kind of talk about the whole process of lucid dreaming. So is lucid dreaming something that can be learned, you know, or is it something, you know, they say like psychic abilities, you're born with them, which I don't believe. You know, I believe that we all have that ability, you know, and so is lucid dreaming something that we all have the ability and can practice over time so that we can participate in it as well?
You know, it definitely is something that can be learned, and there's been scientific studies to show that, yes, indeed, it can be learned. And it is an ability that most everyone seems to have. There's been some scientific studies lately of the prevalence of lucid dreaming around the world. So they'll do surveys of college students in psychology classes in different countries to see how many of them have ever recalled becoming consciously aware in the dream state. And normally the numbers range from about 47% in some countries, so about half the kids, to 92% in other countries where lucid dreaming is a little bit better known. So there's a lot of college-age students, at least, who can recall becoming consciously aware in the dream state. In the scientific studies, when they ask them, how frequent a lucid dreamer are you, or they'd give a measure of what a frequent lucid dreamer would be, then it would be roughly a half or a third of that group consider themselves a frequent lucid dreamer. But yes, it's definitely something you can learn. For some people, though, just like any sort of skill, the more you practice it, the more you engage it, the more you mentally focus on it, the better you become at it. And so it's one of those things. Practice makes perfect.
And so how can we begin training ourselves to become conscious in our dreams? I mean, you were talking about what you worked with Carlos Castaneda, but can you kind of expound on that a little bit more?
Right. So there's various techniques a person can use, and probably if you want to find a larger description, you could go to one of my websites, dreaminglucid.com, which is the website for the Lucid Dream Exchange, which I co-edit, which is a quarterly magazine. And on the left side of that website, you'll see Incubating Lucid Dreams. And if you click that, you'll see that I have 5 techniques for lucid dreaming. Probably the first one is just the simplest one, which is suggestion. So before you go to sleep, you clear out your mind, you relax, and then you begin to repeat to yourself something like, tonight in my dreams, I will realize I am dreaming and become consciously aware. Or you could say something like, tonight in my dreams, when I see something odd, I will realize I'm dreaming and become consciously aware. And so frequently, just by doing that night after night for a week or so, people will suddenly be in a dream. They'll see something odd. They'll see, oh, there goes their pastor at church walking down the street in his underwear. And then they'll think, wait a second, why would my pastor be walking down the street in his underwear? This must be a dream. And so just by using simple suggestion, oftentimes you can become consciously aware. The other approach that I mentioned previously was the Castaneda approach of finding your hands. And that's kind of a stimulus response approach. You look at your hands before you go to sleep while mentally telling yourself, tonight in my dreams, when I see my hands, I'll realize I'm dreaming. And you just keep saying that. Tonight in my dreams, when I see my hands, I'll realize I'm dreaming. Then all of a sudden, a few nights later, you'll be in a dream, and your hands will pop right in front of your face, and you'll realize, oh, my God, my hands, this is a dream. And so that's a very simple kind of stimulus response technique. This gentleman, Stephen LaBerge, who was the scientist at Stanford who helped prove lucid dreaming, he created a technique he called the MILD, M-I-L-D technique. And basically what that was is at night when you wake up, like let's say you wake up at 4 in the morning to use the restroom or whatever, you remember your last dream, and now you visualize yourself becoming lucid. So it's kind of like role-playing. You visualize yourself in that dream you just remembered. Now you've become lucid or consciously aware in the dream. So you do that little role-playing, and then as you're going to sleep, you tell yourself, next time I'm dreaming, I want to recognize I'm dreaming. And so I started to use that technique when I learned about it in the 80s, and I got up to having like 30 lucid dreams a month, which was really quite a bit. So those are some of the techniques. Probably the only other one I'd want to mention is one that they call the nap to lucidity technique. And this has been shown to really increase the likelihood of having a lucid dream. Basically what you do is you set your alarm so you wake up 2 hours before you'd normally wake up. And then you stay awake for 30 or 40 minutes reading about lucid dreams and just thinking about lucid dreams. And then you go back to sleep with the idea that you'll have a lucid dream. And oftentimes people who do that, their lucid dreaming skills increase 10 times what they'd normally be. So they're very likely to have a lucid dream. But those are some of the simple techniques that people use and to become consciously aware each night. And Rita, you know, there's thousands of people, tens of thousands of people tonight who are going to become lucidly aware.
How's that? Pardon? Why would that happen? Why would that happen?
You know, it's just commonly known around the world, this thing of lucid dreaming. And once you've experienced it, once you've become consciously aware and been able to fly, to go through walls, to have these kind of magical powers, it's such an exciting thing that once you've experienced it, you really want to get back and do that. So it's something that I know tens of thousands of people tonight will have lucid dreams. They just do.
So let me ask this question. So let's say I try one of these techniques, and like the hands in front of the face one. Let's use that one as an example. And so, you know, I see my hands in front of my face. So what would happen after that? I mean, in your experience for your first time lucid dreamers, okay, because that's where I'm just kind of going here.
Right.
You know, will they, like, immediately be able to fly around? I mean, in your experience and you're talking to other people that have, you know, gone through this process, what seems to be the stage that they go through when they first start interacting with their dreams?
You know what? In the very first stage, you're just like a little kid. You're just kind of like a lucid dreaming baby. You're just so amazed. You like to touch things. You like to go around and touch a wall, touch yourself in the dream, and kind of compare it to, is this how it feels in waking reality? And you're kind of amazed by how real everything seems. Even though you know it's a dream, even though you know that also you can stick your hand through the wall, you can also touch the wall and kind of feel its solidity or its apparent solidity. So a lot of initial lucid dreamers get caught up in that comparison and contrast. Some of them like to talk to dream figures, and they'll ask them questions like, do you know this is a dream? And then others of them, because they've heard about flying, they'll become excited and decide to go flying. And sometimes that's just a totally thrilling sensation of flying on your own accord. But for most people, the important thing is that when they become consciously aware, the first thing is not to get too excited. So you gotta be sure, you know, to calm down. If you get too excited by looking around the dream, I always suggest look down at your feet, you know, to kind of stabilize yourself or ground yourself. And then the next thing to do is kind of just focus on your awareness. Keep repeating to yourself, this is a dream. Because sometimes the dream, something will happen, and you'll get so interested in what's happening in the dream that you'll get sucked back into regular dreaming. So it's kind of like walking a tightrope. You have to stay on that lucid, conscious thread that this is a dream, I'm dreaming this. And with that, you can have a profound first lucid dream.
So you can actually get sucked back in. That's very interesting. All right, I'm going to tell you. So I'm reading your book this week, and I'm like, all right, I'll try it. You know, and I'm doing the little, you know, I'll see my hands. And so I see my hands, but that was all the only thing that happened. And then I don't know if I woke up or fell back asleep or whatever. I just remember seeing my hand and going, ooh, my hand, and that's it.
Rita, you're so close. So close. No, you know, it's one of the things. It sounds like you've got it right there at the doorstep and all. What happens sometimes is people do that. They say, oh, my hands, this is a dream. I should wake up. And then they kick themselves when they wake up thinking, oh, my gosh, I should have gone flying or walked through a wall or done something incredible. So it sounds like you have the talent there, Rita. It's just something you're going to have to try again, and this time stay in it and explore it.
Well, I think it just surprised me that it even happened.
Oh, yeah. You know, and that's how incredible it is. Oftentimes people who hear about lucid dreaming for the first time that night will have their first lucid dream. I've had a lot of friends, a lot of people I've talked to who have told me that after they heard me talk about it, they had their first lucid dream. So it's something like Milton Erickson, the famous hypnotherapist, always said, the unconscious is always listening. And I think that's the case when we hear about lucid dreams for the first time.
Exactly. Not that this has to do with lucid dreams, but I took a class many, many years ago, and the instructor said, well, I'm going to be transmitting this information to you on the astral. You know, this is what you might experience, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you'll be receiving all of this information. And so I'm sitting there thinking, but I don't ever remember my dreams. This is going to suck. I'm not going to get the information. And so when I went to bed, I just told myself, it's like, okay, you don't remember your dreams, so let's just do this. How's about when I get the information, I will somehow know that I've received it? 2:30 in the morning, I sat bolt upright in bed and looked around and said, oh, my God, I guess I received the information. It was so weird. Robert, we need to take a quick break.
Great.
I'm Dr. Rita Louise. This is Just Energy Radio. We're talking to Robert Wagoner about his book, Lucid Dreaming, and we will be back after these words from our sponsors.
Just Energy Radio with your host, Dr. Rita Louise, will return right after these messages. Hi, I'm James Afayanchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio. Listen to Dr. Rita's Soul Healer Moment live each third Sunday night of the month on Feet to the Fire. www.feet2fire.com for more information.
Are you sensitive to energy? Want to explore the world beyond the five senses? Looking for a new career as an alternative healthcare practitioner? Then the Institute of Applied Energetics, Medical Intuition, and Energy Medicine Training Programs may be right for you. Our comprehensive curriculum provides students with a deep understanding of how to detect, evaluate, and transform the subtle body, as well as techniques for correcting energetic imbalances that may underscore a person's ability to experience radiant health. So if you are sensitive to energy, contact the Institute of Applied Energetics right away. Be a catalyst for changing the way healthcare is done around the world. Visit www.appliedenergeticsinstitute.com and start your new career today.
You can get a copy of Dr. Rita's latest book, Avoiding the Cosmic 2x4, by visiting www.soulhealer.com. Get your copy today.
Before we get back to the show, I want to thank all of you for tuning into Just Energy Radio this evening. Many of the people I've helped over the years were listeners just like you. If you're at a junction in your life, don't stand alone at this important time. Call me or send me an email. We can set up a private consultation so that you too can experience wholeness in your life. To find out more about the services I offer, visit soulhealer.com.
And now back to Just Energy Radio with Dr. Rita Louise.
Hello and welcome back to Just Energy Radio. I'm Dr. Rita Louise, and we're talking to Robert Wagoner about his book, Lucid Dreaming. His website is www.lucidadvice.com. So, Robert, we have someone on the line, so let me go ahead and take their call, okay?
Great.
Okay, let's see. Hi, caller from 862 area code. How are you today? Okay, well.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I can hear you now. What's your name? Caller?
I didn't mean to call in, sorry.
Okay, that's okay. Bye. All right, or maybe not. Too many buttons to push here, I swear to God. But if somebody does want to call in, the call-in number is 646-200-0698. That's 646-200-0698. Okay, well, I guess we get to chat again. Okay, let's see. So what do you think, you know, earlier you were talking about dream personas, and but let's kind of talk about, like, dream imagery. And you kind of talked about that a little bit. What do you think about things like dream books? You know, like I mentioned Betty Bethard's dream books, you know, and there's a bunch of different ones that say, well, if you see a pink flower, it means this, and if you see this, does that have any correlation to reality in either the lucid dreaming area or in a regular dream state dream?
Right. You know, I think most people who are involved in the study of dreams, and I'm part of the organization, the International Association for the Study of Dreams, most of us dream workers hold the idea that everyone's dream symbolism is unique to them. For example, a person who dreams of a black dog, if they had a black dog as a child and loved that dog, it might mean one thing compared to a person who was attacked by a black dog as a little child. So to me, all dream symbolism seems unique to the person, and each person has to figure out what exactly that meaning is. That's one of the reasons why it's so fun in a lucid dream to go around and ask a dream figure what it represents, and if it could explain what the rest of the dream imagery represents. And oftentimes you'll get incredibly interesting responses when you ask the dream figures to explain the dream and their own appearance in the dream.
And so when you're lucid dreaming, do you have, you know, is it possible to have a bad dream, you know, with a big black dog or somebody chasing after you or something like that?
Well, you know, anything's possible. It's interesting, though, that psychotherapists often use lucid dreaming as a healing modality for people with emotional issues or post-traumatic stress disorder where they keep having recurring nightmares. And so the therapists teach the people, okay, you only see that nightmarish figure when you're having a dream. The next time you see that nightmarish figure, remember, that's a dream. This is a dream, and become consciously aware, become lucid. And so there's some great stories of therapists who have taught their clients how to do this. like one woman suffered from some severe kind of disabling psychological issues because she kept having a recurring dream of being chased by three women. And so finally her therapist got her to try this technique, and she became consciously aware when the three women were chasing her. And she turned around to the three women in the dream, now that she's consciously aware, and she'd go, "Okay, I've had it with you. Why are you chasing me? What's this all about?" And they go, the three responded that, "Oh, we're your anxieties. You call us to you." And all of a sudden the woman realized that because she hadn't been dealing with her sense of anxiety, that she kept having this recurring dream. And after that, she got to the root of her problem and never had that recurring nightmare again. Other people have had the same sort of thing where they've met the lion that's been chasing them in dream after dream. They became consciously aware. They knew it was a dream. They turned to the lion and asked, "Why are you chasing me?" And the lion would announce, "I am your father. I am here to tell you what to do." And then they'd have a conversation with the lion, who was a representation of their deceased father, and they'd finally come to heal that kind of emotional issues that had been going on for years after years after years. So that's one of the beautiful things about lucid dreaming. It can take those nightmares and use to flip them around to finally heal those issues that nightmare represents.
Excuse me. So let's talk about the healing aspect, because I think that's very interesting. So let's say, I don't know, in the last hour we were talking about abuse and sexual abuse part of the time. So let's say someone does have a history that includes sexual abuse, just because I'm kind of lacking for a topic. Can they use the intention of, you know, exploring what is keeping that energy trapped in them, or using, you know, their intention to have their dream state help them heal, something like that?
Oh,
did
yeah.
Did that come out right?
I honestly think that they can use regular dreaming and also lucid dreaming as a means to get them on the way to a full healing from basically any kind of abuse. Oftentimes, lucid dreamers have discovered this, that when they become consciously aware in the dream state, and if they see some menacing figure, like I remember one time I did see a big black dog coming towards me, but I was consciously aware, and I thought, well, boy, what should be my response here? And I thought, okay, in this sort of environment, what I'm going to do is project love and compassion and understanding on the dog. And as I did so, all of a sudden, this big, mean, growling black dog began to change. And finally, it changed into a little dachshund, like we had when I was a child. And I picked it up, and we went flying around. And so that's one thing that you realize and you see very dramatically in the lucid dream state is I could have consciously in the dream state, I could have fought the dog, I could have whacked it, I could have shot an energy beam at it, I could have done all those sort of things, but to really come to kind of a healing of it or an understanding of it, the best approach in my mind was to project love and compassion and understanding on it, assuming that it was some sort of issue that did need just those sort of qualities. But oftentimes when you're consciously aware, you can talk to the dream figure, you can understand what it's all about, what it wants you to know, what it wants to say, and you'll finally come to some sort of resolution with whatever that issue might be.
Okay, so I hope this isn't too personal of a question, but did you ever figure out what the mean dog represented? And when you had it transform into the small dachshund that you took around and was your buddy, did you notice a change within yourself because of the transformation of the energy in your dream state?
Well, I definitely noticed a change in myself, but because you feel that fear reaction, you feel it get resolved. You realize that you have some choice in the matter to determine your own reaction. And so you do feel that something gets resolved. I should tell you another lucid dream. I became consciously aware one time in a dream when I was in kind of a Depression-era farmhouse in the South, and I was sitting there at this table in this poor kitchen, and this woman was putting beans on everybody's plate. And I thought for a second, wait a moment, I don't live in the South. I don't live in a farm. And I realized there was a black woman behind me. I was consciously aware at this point. And I remembered Carl Jung saying that oftentimes the shadow appeared behind the person. I mean, literally behind the person. So I reached around to pick up this woman. She's a young, attractive black woman. I put her right in front of me, and I ask her, I go, "What do you represent? What do you represent?" And all of a sudden she said, "I am a discarded aspect of yourself." And I thought about that. Okay, this is a discarded aspect of myself. And I thought, well, what do you do to a discarded aspect of yourself? You integrate them. You accept them. And so at that moment, I just decided to totally accept her. And what was interesting, Rita, she turned into a wisp of light that came into my body, into my torso. And when I woke up, I felt so different. I felt like I had new energy inside of me. And it was about a week later that I started thinking I should write a book on lucid dreaming. And it was an idea that I'd had 5 years earlier and had tried to do, but I gave up on. I discarded it. And all of a sudden, I began to think that maybe this woman actually represented that discarded energy that I had had, but I'd given up on because I thought it was too difficult. And this time I did, in fact, finish writing the book.
See, and I'm sitting here going, you didn't do a very good job of discarding it.
You know, that's the great
thing.
It's
like stuck on you.
You know, that's the great thing. That's what they say about energy. You can transform it, but you know, you never really can let it go. And so by accepting that discarded energy, I kind of reclaimed that energy and was able to have the energy to write this book and move forward.
Excellent. Okay, so I have a couple of toughies for you.
Okay.
I mean, they might not be tough for you. It was really interesting concept to me.
Yeah.
So when we're in our dream state, are we still within our own psyche, or do we travel to some kind of alternate reality? And if we do travel to an alternate reality, can we share or co-experience dreams with others?
Yeah, you know, those are excellent questions, Rita, and they're complex ones as well. So,
but it's so interesting, the thought that I can have a dream and, like, hook up with somebody in their dream and we're co-dream, you know, it put me into this whole, you know, science fiction channel.
Right.
The brain thing.
Here's how complicated it is. Just like a moment ago, you were telling the story about the gentleman at the workshop who said he was going to appear in the astral state and transmit the information, and all of a sudden at 2:30 at night, you sit straight up and realize you've got information. I remember having a lucid dream, and I've written a chapter in my book about this on mutual lucid dreams, or ones where you're consciously aware and interact with a dream figure. So I became consciously aware in the dream state, and I was kind of hanging out in this restaurant bar, consciously aware. I knew everything was a dream. And in comes my friend Mo, Maureen, who I know from the Bay Area. And so I went over to her, and I go, "Mo, this is a dream. Do you realize this is a lucid dream?" And she had this kind of funny look on her face, like she can't focus or concentrate. So her head moves to the left and right, and her eyes kind of move around. And I can tell that she's really not focusing on what I'm saying. So I keep trying to convince her that we're dreaming. I levitate with her, and I say, "Look, Mo, we're levitating. See, this is a dream." I keep trying to convince her. Anyway, at the end of it, I got kind of frustrated, and I did something. I put my fingers in a peace sign, you know, or a V for victory sign. I put that peace sign right in front of her face, and I go, "Mo, whenever you see this peace sign, you can use it to become consciously aware in the dream. Do you see that, that peace sign?" And then I decided to wake up. So 3 months later, in waking reality, I never told Mo this dream. I never told anyone this lucid dream. I'm out in the Bay Area, and I call up my friend Mo and see if she wants to get together for lunch. So we decide to get together at a restaurant. I'm waiting outside of the restaurant when all of a sudden I see Mo come walking up the sidewalk. she comes walking right up to me, and suddenly she puts her fingers in a peace sign and shoves it right in my face. And I go, Mo, why are you doing that? And she goes, I don't know. I just felt like it. And so because of that experience, me doing that to her in a lucid dream, and her 3 months later, without any knowledge, doing that to me, which is totally bizarre to have someone shove a peace sign right in your face, you know, who you haven't seen in 6 months or whatever. So it makes you wonder, how did we connect? Did we meet in an alternate reality? Did I telepathically, from my dream state, transmit the information telepathically to her and she picked it up on some unconscious level? It's really hard to know, but in my book, I have a chapter on mutual lucid dreams where two lucid dreamers try to connect in the dream state, and we've had some interesting experiences occur, so it's kind of hard to figure out exactly what's going on there, but it does seem that information can get transmitted in the dream state.
So can you share a story or two?
Well,
I don't know. This is so fascinating to me that that's even possible.
You know, here's a good story. I have a good friend, Ed Kellogg, who's a fantastic lucid dreamer and really taught me a lot about lucid dreaming. Anyway, one morning in waking reality, he calls me up and he goes, Robert, do you remember your dreams from last night? And I said, oh, sure I did. And I began to tell him my two or three dreams I could recall. And he says, wait a second. Now tell me about the one where you're sitting at the table with three other people. Okay, who's the person across from you? And I said, oh, it's this man. He's about 40 years old. And he goes, okay, and who's the person to your right? And I said, oh, it's this woman. And he said something like, does she have blonde hair? And I go, yes. And he goes, is she wearing a blue dress? And I go, yes. How do you know that? And Ed goes, I'm the guy who was sitting to your left, and I was in that dream consciously aware with you. And then he began to fill in details about the dream that I had yet to tell him. So when you have experiences like that occur, you begin to realize that lucid dreamers might have the capacity to prove that there is some meeting of the minds or some alternate dimension in which dreamers can actually get together and share their environments. So it really is a fascinating thing.
Well, the implications of that, you know, if it's something that you can train and hone your skills, the implications of that, you know, it's kind of like remote viewing. You know, they've had so much success with remote viewing where if you could sit there and communicate information in your dream space to a secret spy on the other
right.
side or something,
right.
you know, all right, I don't like putting in the military spot. Okay, so cancel that. But, you know, whatever. Save you from writing an email.
it does show us that each of us at deeper levels are much more connected than science would tell us. At deeper levels, especially lucid dreamers and people who pay attention to their dreams, sometimes those who seem to get precognitive information and all, you begin to realize how time and space are not exactly as science always tells us, and it's much more like quantum physicists tell us, that there's connections at deeper levels that we're not consciously aware of. But I think
that's my next question.
Okay.
Would you say that when you're having like a regular dream? I mean, because I think a certain amount of people aren't aware of if they're in the middle of a lucid dream versus a regular dream. So we'll just use the regular dream, and there are people that you know in the dream. Could you be having one of those kind of dreams as well?
A connected dream.
A connected dream, correct.
Right, right. You know, I honestly think you could, that in some regular dreams, the information you get is so crystal clear, and then you wake up with it, and later the information is validated. It's It's either telepathic information you've gotten or it's precognitive information. People try dream telepathy, and it's very simple to experiment. All you have to do is get a friend, someone across the country, tell them to get an image that's interesting and also unusual, and on a certain night, try to telepathically transmit it to you and allow yourself that night as you're going to sleep to dream about it. Oftentimes, people, just by doing this little simple telepathic experiment, they won't hit it exactly dead on. Like, let's say the person is transmitting an image of a Japanese pagoda, but the other person might dream of being in Japan, of eating sushi, of seeing a shogun's palace in Kyoto or something like that. And so oftentimes you realize, just because of the dream response, that information is being transmitted. And anyone can do it for themselves, and I think that's much more convincing than any scientific study, even though there have been scientific studies exactly on dream telepathy, some of which have shown that it definitely seems valid.
So what do you think about the show, because I'm sure you've watched it, Medium, you know, where she has the either precognitive or whatever dreams about different crimes and murders and who did it.
Right.
The important stuff for TV.
Yeah,
you know
but
what do you think of that whole idea?
You know, I think that certain people have a tendency to tune in to certain kind of dream experiences. Some people seem to tune in to airplane crashes. Other people seem to tune in to murders or things like that. Other people tune in to positive stuff, like getting money. They'll have certain kind of dreams before they get money or make a big sale. So I think that's quite valid. Probably the only thing that I would say, in some of these shows, they show the information or the dream as being very literal, and in many experiences, for most people, it's symbolic and literal both. So there's an intermixture of that both. But in lucid dreaming, we have had, and I've written about this in my book, lucid dreamers become consciously aware and seek out unknown information. They're consciously aware and they seek out future information. In my book are two stories of people who became consciously aware and sought out lottery numbers of an upcoming lottery. And in my book are people who've used lucid dreaming to get telepathic information from that is being sent by other people. So when you read these stories, you begin to realize that lucid dreamers can do all of this, and also they could do it in a scientific way. It could be set up with a scientist and all be done in a scientific experiment. And that's what I think is a real promise of lucid dreaming. Lucid dreaming has been scientifically proven, and now these other characteristics, precognitive dreams, telepathic dreams, clairvoyant dreams, they could also, if there was a scientist willing, be set up with a lucid dreamer who would seek out that information, wake up with it, and give it to the scientist, and we could begin to prove whether this is a valid possibility or not.
I mean, that would be very interesting. I think it would be difficult to prove, you know, if it was just big events that people were hitting on, you know, that would be good. But if you're getting information about, you know, Mary Sue down the street, you know, there's not anything to validate the information from, you know, it's like, well, is that really a false positive?
You know, and if the experimental design was set up correctly, like a random number generator, that at 12 noon a month from today, we're going to have a random number generator spit out a random three-digit number. So you lucid dreamers, you dream up what that random number is going to be. And and you consciously seek it out when you become consciously aware in the dream state. You get the three numbers, you wake up with it, you give it to the scientist. Everybody waits till the day when the random number generator spits out the three digits, and there you go. I mean, that's how the experiment could be set up, and it would be interesting to see these results. Because I tell you, Rita, I really think there's a chance that lucid dreaming could revolutionize how we view dreaming and the information that's accessible when we're in that altered state of consciousness.
Well, see, you have obviously a much more scientific. I'm like, well, just have some dreams and let us know what you can. Like, okay, I guess that wasn't a very scientific approach, but you know, your thoughts, yeah, it seems a little more, you know, validatable.
Well, thank you.
So we have a couple more minutes left. If someone wanted to get a copy of your book, where would they go look for it?
You know, you could go to my website, lucidadvice.com, and there you can click on a link to amazon.com and pick it up, or you can call your favorite local bookstore. But the title is Lucid Dreaming, Gateway to the Inner Self by Robert Wagoner. And I'm just going to spell my last name because it's spelled a little bit differently. It's W-A-G like George, G like George, O-N-E-R, so Wagoner. But, yeah, it's available, but check out my website, lucidadvice.com.
And so it sounds like you have a lot of articles and information so that if people wanted to get some more information about lucid dreaming, that would be a good first place to start as well?
Yeah, that'd be a great first place to start. You can read reviews. I have links to other lucid dreaming sources, and you can really see how far you can take it. But I did want to say that lucid dreaming allows us to seek out creativity when we're consciously aware in the dream state. In my book, I have a chapter on people who have used lucid dreaming to heal themselves and others when consciously aware in the dream state. And I have a chapter on people who have used lucid dreaming when they're consciously aware to talk to deceased people who appear in dreams and try to learn things from them. So it's really fascinating what you can do with this topic.
That's really cool. Like I said, the book was very interesting. I was, you know, not being a dreamer, even though I knew what lucid dreaming was, you know, it was a good read. So thank you so much for your work and, you know, putting some good information out there.
Oh, well, thanks, Rita. It's been great talking with you. And the next time you see your hands in the dream state, become consciously aware.
Don't freak out, right? Okay, Robert, I'm going to let you go. And you have a wonderful weekend, okay?
Okay, Rita. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And next week, we have another exciting show. We'll be talking about mysterious signs, sequence, and synchronicities with Marie Jones. And in the second hour, we're going to be talking about, can science finally explain God? And we'll be talking about that with Bernard Haish. And so, until next week, thank you all for tuning in to Just Energy Radio at our new time. And until next week, be blessed.
Join host Dr. Rita Louise each week at this time for Just Energy Radio. Point your browser to www.justenergyradio.com for more show information and to contact Dr. Rita. Until next time, remember, it's all just energy.